Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Man, you know, we talked about this on our last program, how the nuclear option was being used by Harry Reid, successfully, by the way. They used it successfully, were 51 votes in the Senate, and immediately they began to put people up. But at the same time, Iran's wanting to use the nuclear option against Israel. And truly, if their theology, and you understand this, and you can find out their theology, the Islamic, radical Islamic theology about the 12th Iman on VFN Torch, you can go listen to it. Just type in Islam, and you can find out about that and the Muslim Brotherhood. But they believe that chaos has to happen on the face of the earth. Chaos has to happen before their savior rises out of a hole in the ground. No, I'm not making front of you. See, you just don't know.
Yeah,
well, that's what Mecca is. Mecca is that black tent is over a hole in the ground, and they're walking around in circles. If you'll watch them go to Mecca in the journey, they walk around that, and they're paying their homage, and they call it the different names for it, and because there's a hole in the ground and a well hole. And they believe that the their savior, the 12th Iman, I believe it is, is going to come out of this hole, and he's going to come out, and he's going to put a mark on them. And this mark will identify them as being right. And people who don't have the mark, they're going to be wrong. And then they're going to make war against those who think they thought they were right, but now they... Obviously, I got the mark now, so I'm right. And Jesus, they call a prophet, is going to have to come. He will come back, which they're acknowledging he'll come back. But he'll have to repent for calling himself the Son of God. So the question you ask yourself is, how could anybody, when you read prophecy, how can anybody make war against the Son of God? Why would anybody do that? Unless they've been so deceived that they bought into a bipolar negative, a bipolar narrative of the gospel. It's a negative. When you have a negative, and we don't take pictures that way anymore, but imagine a negative is the total opposite. It's a bipolar narrative, means bipolar, you got North Pole and you got South Pole. Bipolar means they're opposites. And so the opposite of what you read about Jesus is coming. And the beast coming out of the ground, because we read Revelation. It talks about the revelation of Christ. It talks about the beast coming out of the ground, and he comes out of the ground, and he puts a mark on his folks, the mark of the beast, and it's called 77. They even call this thing that comes out of the ground the beast. And we need to pray for the Muslims that they would be saved. God loves Muslims. And... but in the context of that, it's the opposite. It's total opposite of what the Word of God says, what the Bible says. This is why it's important for you to read your Bible, because when you hear the name God, that does not mean God. It means a God. You got to find out which God they're talking about. And the one that sets him apart from all other gods is his love for us, because he gave his son for us. The true God gave his son for us, Jesus Christ. And when you've seen the son, you've seen God. When you've seen the son, you've seen the father. So if you want to know what God is like, you can look at the life of Jesus. And he who actually denies Jesus as the son of God is the denies Jesus Christ is the son of God. They are anti-Jesus. They are of a spirit called anti-Jesus Christ. Or you can move the Jesus part out and say anti-Christ. And so if you're not for Jesus, you're anti-Jesus. And for years, people created some, you know, red horn concept of that. But the truth is, it's a spirit. And it's people that's against the knowledge of Jesus being the Son of God. But there's about, if not already, and according to some of the things that we've heard in regards to the Malachi prophecy of 130 years ago or whatever, that this particular pope will be the last pope that would be around during the time this takes place. Understand this. You have to know that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. There is no other God but God, and his son is Jesus Christ. You have to know this to be true. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because we're coming to a day that great deception is going to come in the land. Many people are going to believe that these other gods are God, even to the point of believing. And we're supporting, as we speak, Mecca, when we're supporting the Ayatollah in Iran, the American government is, that there, this 12th Iman coming out of the ground, we're going to have to wake up, that wants to destroy, of all the people, wants to destroy Israel and the United States. So we're talking about a prophetic perspective, what's taking place. Understand some times are coming on the earth that if you don't have a biblical perspective, a vertical view of these horizontal happenings that we talk about, a biblical worldview, then you can panic. And understand this is a world thing, so there's like nowhere, where are you going to go?
That's right. Hey.
You know, where are you going to go? The thing is that you should go to the cross. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about getting a biblical worldview. It's not about America. We have so many words giving about America, and we understand, and we've talked about ourselves. What God revealed to me about America, I shared it. You know, how America, how we got here, and how do we stay here. And in the context of that, if we forget how we got here, we don't need to stay here.
That's right.
And obviously, the land may stay here. It may look different, but in regards to, as we know it, it could totally change. And some people's goal is to do that. Well, as we speak, as we've been talking about, that nuclear option that Senator Harry Reid talked about doing and passed in the Senate, at the same time, SOS, Secretary of State, and I say SOS like that because that's the abbreviation for Secretary of State, but to me, it means two things. Mm. One, God spoke to me about the Secretary of State, and what he is doing right now, based on what the Lord showed me, that though we were at one level as Christians and Jews in the world, when he finishes doing what he's doing, it's going to be different for Christians and Jews in the earth, unless we pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about it. You can go back and it's probably a related article. And I knew God told me the moment he would be saying what he said live, and he did it the next day or whatever it was. And it's not, this is serious stuff. So they're talking at the very same time that our leadership's talking about the leader of Congress or Senate saying we're going to go the nuclear option, and they successfully did it. Iran, the Ayatollah, is saying we want to go the nuclear option. And that's what they're negotiating now. And little to our surprise, understanding that, and you can, you understand, we're talking not our opinion. We're sharing with you what, and we have these sources available to you on the VFN Torch, that your congressman was told, do not listen to anything the Israelis are telling you.
Right.
Another aspect of, was told, this president's administration said, don't listen. The Secretary of State said, SOS himself said, do not listen to anything the Israelis say. And then also, there was reports that the president was saying, don't listen to any of Israel's allies about what's going on right now. And look what happened. Listen to CBN News as we're talking. This happened while you were sleeping this weekend.
Well, welcome to the 700 Club. People are saying, well, maybe the president did the impossible. He got the Democrats and Republicans in opposition to his foreign policy. Both sides are skeptical about the deal with Iran's nuclear program.
And it's not just American politicians that feel this way. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is warning that the deal is dangerous. Chris Mitchell has the story from Jerusalem.
Netanyahu has said repeatedly the deal is a dangerous one for the Jewish state.
Israel has many friends and allies, but when they're mistaken, it's my obligation to speak out clearly and openly and say so. It's my solemn responsibility to protect and defend the one and only Jewish state.
Netanyahu says that Israel is not obligated to the deal, and Israeli leaders are emphasizing that all options, including a military one, are on the table. Now, U.S. Secretary of State Kerry must convince his former Senate colleagues this is a good deal.
I believe Congress will recognize that this deal actually has a great deal of benefit in it.
Some remain unconvinced.
Nothing in this deal requires the destruction of any centrifuges. They're going to continue to be able to replace centrifuges that become inoperable. And I just don't see this movement in the direction of preventing Iran from developing a nuclear weapon at all.
Already there's a disagreement over one of the agreement's key provisions, the right to enrich uranium.
There is no right to enrich. We do not recognize a right to enrich. It is clear in the NPT, in the Non-Proliferation Treaty, it's very, very clear that there is no right to enrich.
But Iran's president sees the right to enrich uranium as the keystone to this agreement and says the world powers have recognized Iran's nuclear rights.
No matter what interpretations are given, Iran's right to enrichment has been recognized in the text of the agreement. For that reason, I announced to the Iranian nation that Iran's enrichment activity will continue as before.
This is an interim agreement, but Iran's foreign minister says negotiations for the next phase could begin in just a few weeks.
Well, you know, the thing that amazes me is why did we do it? The Iranians were on the ropes. The sanctions were really biting, and their economy was hurting badly. Why, when you have your enemy down and you're getting ready to win, why do you let up? Well, we've let up. And it's like Chamberlain. I years ago, it was fixed in my mind. I was just a youngster, but Chamberlain raising his umbrella and claiming that the Munich Accord with Adolf Hitler, and Hitler was laughing at him. He said, "What an idiot this Chamberlain is. I took advantage of him, got everything I wanted." And he sold out the Czechs, and the next thing you know, we've got World War II. So this agreement essentially says Iran is now legitimately a nuclear power. That's what they've said. And you ask yourself, what's wrong with Obama? Well, is he looking to turn attention away from this disastrous health care? You don't know. Well, Chris Mitchell is with us now from Jerusalem. And Chris, you have sources in Israel. What are they telling you about this deal?
Well, much the same thing you just said, Pat. One of the things it does, it legitimizes Iran as a nuclear power. There's been six United Nations resolutions condemning Iran's use of enriched uranium, and yet this legitimizes it. It also lessens the sanctions when it should be strengthened, and it also puts Iran as a nuclear threshold country. And what that means is that if Iran wants to go to a nuclear breakout stage, it can do so in a matter of months, if not a matter of weeks. And so that's why Netanyahu is calling this not a historic deal, but a historic mistake.
Chris, in your opinion, or the opinion of the people you're talking to, does this make an Israeli strike on Iran more likely?
I think it does, Pat. It also isolates Israel diplomatically. If Israel does make a military strike, like it has said it would, that the military option is still on the table, then that puts itself against the P5 plus one, these world powers that have struck the deal with Iran. Just last week, we reported that Yaakov Amidror, the former national security advisor to Israel, said that Israel has the capability to strike Iran's nuclear program and significantly reduce its capacity, and that Israeli pilots have been training all over the world. So I really do think this makes a possible military strike by Israel more likely.
What about the secret negotiations? Apparently, without telling anybody, Kerry and others were making negotiations with the Iranians behind the scenes. What do you know about that?
Well, I know, Pat, that that was going on since March, and that was actually before Rouhani was elected Iranian's president, when Ahmadinejad was still Iran's president. Israel found out about that at the beginning of the summer, and just 2 months ago was, quote, officially told by Obama. That's when he gave the news to Netanyahu. I think that makes Israel perhaps a little more skeptical about the way that the United States is going about these negotiations with Iran. Apparently, those talks form the basis of the Geneva talks. And as you said, Pat, a lot of people are using the Munich analogy, that this does make war more likely because then in 1938, the West appeased Hitler. Now it seems many people are saying that the West has appeased Khamenei. And I think this is the kind of uncharted waters we are in right now in the Middle East.
We've seen public statements about Saudi Arabia. What are you hearing behind the scenes about the Saudis?
Well, there's no evidence right now, Pat, that Israel and Saudi Arabia are working together. But I talked to a security analyst earlier today, and he said he'd be surprised if there's no secret negotiations or communications going on between Israel and Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states as well. The Gulf states have been very quiet since this deal was struck, but they did meet over the weekend, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and many of the other Gulf states. So there's a common interest, and it really has made strange bedfellows here in the Middle East with Israel and the Saudi Arabia seeing Iran as a mortal threat to each of their countries.
Well, Chris, you met with Netanyahu last week in Moscow in a private meeting. What did you ask him?
Well, they had a private briefing, Pat, for many of the reporters, and there was only one question that they wanted to actually be published. It's the question I was able to ask. The question was this. Given the fact that Iran's nuclear threat and what he said in the United Nations, he quoted from the prophet Amos that Israel had been rooted in the land and they would never be rooted out again. And I said, do you feel it's like this is 1938 and do you feel like Churchill? And he answered that he did and that he feels personally responsible for the continuation of the Jewish state. And he feels this weight upon his shoulders, this weight of Jewish history. And I think because he feels that, he's not afraid to confront the United States. He's not afraid to say to the world that you're missing it with Iran. He's not afraid to stand up against Khamenei, who has asked for the elimination of the Jewish state. So I think he feels this quite responsible. I think he sees the historic analogy between 1938 and 2013. And I think that's why, in many ways, I'm hearing a lot of people are praying like never before for what's happening right now in the Middle East. These are dangerous, uncharted waters, and people need to be praying, just like Paul exhorted Timothy in the second chapter, pray for the leaders, pray for Netanyahu, Obama, these world leaders, for such a time as this.
Chris, one last question. You've written a book.
This is so important. The CBN News, think about what's being said is that this agreement that they're kind of brushing over that happened as we all rested and slept over the weekend, maybe, says that this agreement actually says Iran now is a legitimate nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
They have an apocalyptic government that says we want to destroy and annihilate Israel, which in the middle of those negotiations in Geneva, the very one that they appeased, that we're going to talk about, called the Prime Minister Netanyahu, called him a dog, a rabid dog.
Mm.
And they said this is like the appeasement of Hitler in 1938. And what came out of that was World War II.
Which is 75 years ago, by the way.
Wow.
And here we are today. And this is what you just heard, is this appeasement, it wasn't of Hitler, of the Aryan race, but this is of Ayatollah of the Iranian race.
Mm.
I mean, think of the harmony here in the context of it, which, by the way, Hitler died in 1936, I believe it was. And in 2 years before is when Iran became the nation that they are. So it's like the spirit just transferred over in the context of that.
Wow.
And they're saying this appeasement of Hitler in 1938 brought to pass World War II. And we were just talking about and some of the prophecies that have been given out and what Jim Baker heard about, the 31 prophecies we talked about. And what we're telling you about is that this is the beginning. If God does not intervene, and he intervenes when we intervene through prayer and cry out to God and humble ourselves and repent, the beginning of potentially World War III. World War III.
Hitler died in 45.
Yeah, Hitler in 1945. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was it 45?
Yeah, 1945.
Okay. The Yes. Okay. 45. Yes. Yes. And understand that this is potentially the beginning of war. Think about world war. And if you don't think, I mean, we're going to talk about the Woodrow Wilson administration when we come back. But understand, this is what an author said. He just wrote a book. We'll talk about him in a moment. It's called Wilson. His wife that he got once he got into Washington, D.C., who was basically selected for him, was the first female president of the United States because they locked him down in a room for the last year and a half. You got to hear this because that was the beginning of the progressive movement. That was the beginning of the World War One. That was the beginning of big government. It was the beginning of the Federal Reserve. It was the beginning of the League of Nations, which became the United Nations, in which we're actually wrestling with today, which is against Israel on every side. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.